Hey guys, welcome to episode 5 of the Ginger Veteran Podcast, Misfits Mission. I'm excited to today have on the CEO of Misfits Motorsports, Nathan Welch. He expressed some interest in wanting to share his mental health journey. So we've decided that we're going to get together and do this interview and get his story out there and share it with the world and you know, help raise awareness on mental health and, you know, just do everything that this podcast is about and everything that Misfits Mission is about and Misfits Motorsports. And we're gonna kick it off the right way here on episode 5. So without further ado, Mr. Nathan Welch, the CEO of Misfits Motorsports, how you doing?
Hey, Gregory, I'm doing well. How are you, man?
Doing pretty good. Hey, so real quick, you know, before we jump into too much, I just want to kind of talk about how we have a past together, right? So we served together on my first contract, and we served together at Fort Bliss, you know. Yeah, you know, Fort Bliss is what you make of it, right? We served together. We have a history, and, you know, we kind of came into contact here later on in life with kind of a mission that intersects here with two different things. So real quick, know you want to talk about some stuff, and then, you know, after that we'll get into the interview. So I'll let you go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about.
All right, so I'm not trying to make this episode about Misfits Motorsports. I feel like the introduction has been made. hopefully after that last episode we don't have any more of that 4 minute long introductions. So what I do want to do involving Misfits Motorsports is I want to introduce the rally car that we're building to compete in the American Rally Association. We took a fully built 2017 WRX and put a 2019 Subaru drivetrain into it. Subarus do Subaru things, and instead of letting that happen, we're going to go ahead and slap a Chevy LS into that thing. we're keeping the Subaru all-wheel drive system, and the way that this project is coming together, it's like it was made to happen. We've picked up sponsorships from people, from companies like Sicky Manufacturing. They've helped us out with their BRZ LS swap kit. TSS Fab, they are a tubular subframe manufacturing company who specialize in Subarus specifically. They have a subframe option for the BRZ to be able to put an LS into it. The adapter plate from Subaru Gears, the fabrication work from Savage Fab, Tyler Barnaby here in Michigan, and the roll cage from Tom Nolf with Star Customs in Kent City, Michigan. I have to give a shout out to these guys. Without him, it would not be possible. My team... Thanks for putting up with all the crazy. but we're almost there. Hopefully we can make it to Snowdrift this year, the week of February 5th.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's great to hear. So a guy like me, I'm a car guy, but not a car guy, right? I love to look at cars. I love to, you know, basically just observe from my understanding of cars. It's funny that you should say Subaru does Subaru things, because I have always wanted a WRX, right? I've always wanted one.
Oh, yeah.
Had a couple of buddies when I was in my early 20s that got some, and had it for a couple of months and blew the transmission in it. And then when he went to replace it, it was like $10,000. And I was like, never fucking mind, right? I don't want those problems. I don't need that in my life. But yeah, man, that's awesome. Misfits Motorsports sounds like he's doing some great things. That's awesome. So yeah, let's get into your interview, man. Let's share your story. Let's get that out there.
All right. So listening to your first two episodes was rough. Not because they weren't great. They were very extremely well put together. It was incredible to listen to, but it was, I guess, a little painful seeing somebody else went through the same things that my brother and I went through.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate what you're doing. I can't be the only one. Thank you. The third episode, Batman. I listened to it in preparation for my episode, and I don't know if I should have done that because I'm still in the midst of a panic attack from it. But listening to fellow service members or just fellow men, I guess. Sorry.
You're good.
Seeing them, that they experience the same thing, it hits, you know. Sorry.
You're good.
As a kid, my brother and my mom and I lived through the same things. Like, not the same things, but things no kid should ever have to endure. Being choked, thrown out in blizzards, so much more. The moments left scars. They don't ever fully heal. And relating it to what people go through on what I go through on a daily basis, and what the previous guest spoke about, like the mood swings and the panic attacks, and this inability to focus. He mentioned it being like a glass wall in front of you, where you're stuck just watching everything happen. And like you react to the situation, to the scene that's going on. Like me, I always have something clever to say. But behind that screen, it's the same feeling as when I was a helpless kid, you know? And, well, my kids would never, ever have to put up with anything that I went through as a kid. It's terrifying and difficult to not relate the two scenarios. Like, it's hard to not compare yourself to your aggressor.
Yes.
Oh God, that's hard to say.
Yes.
Oh shit. And I guess when I transitioned from civilian life, like I transitioned later, like you did. So I was the oldest, one of the older guys at boot camp, and everyone was there to play games. And I'm like, yo, I've already lived life. It sucks. You know, like I thought joining the military meant finally get to leave all that behind.
Yeah.
When I got to boot camp, I was, like, I was the high-speed guy, right? I was running 11-minute 2 miles, doing 105 push-ups in 2 minutes, and 67 sit-ups, all right?
There you go. There you go.
Right. I shot expert at the rifle range. I was top tests. Like, I got promoted. Okay, I did not get promoted in boot camp. I'll be honest and upfront. I made a racist joke, and it was not taken well. I apologize for that, but let's move past that.
You know, people mistake dark humor a lot, but you know, you really got to know your audience for dark humor, right? It's not for everybody.
It's not, and it's like it's hard to not make racial remarks, you know, racial jokes when racial jokes are being thrown out. It's like, come on.
Yeah.
but I do apologize. Yeah, the only person whose name I specifically remember who was offended by that is Poston, and I do apologize. It's not meant to hurt anybody's feelings. So at basic training, I was not promoted because of that specifically. However, when I got to, A school, it didn't change. Like, I was still top PT. I was still top test. I graduated top of the class and I was promoted. And, so it was like, okay, yep, I did leave everything behind. Like, I am a soldier. I can do this. Like, fuck what everybody said when I was a kid. Like, I can make something of myself. And then when, as you mentioned, we were both stationed at Fort Bliss for our first contract.
Yeah.
And back when we got there, you guys were all in Kentucky at some training event. So it was just me, the Staff Sergeant Osario, Sergeant Rosario, V.
Yeah.
So it was just us. We were just, we were running missions for brigade, battalion, post, like they got me licensed quick.
Doing it all, right?
Yeah. Like, there was, oh man, I got one and only story that I'll share. we were moving connexes for brigade, and the roads are two-lane roads. Or four-lane roads, you know. I got a full 20-footer Connex sideways on my forklift. I put it in crab mode, and I angled my back tires over to the left, and I switched it over and angled my other tires to the other way, and I'm just doing circles down the fucking road because there's nobody on post. Learned to do some crazy crap with the 501st. That was fun.
yeah, it was, man. Looking back out on it now, like I've mentioned in previous episodes, like, man, I thinking back to how much I said it sucked, but now looking back at it, I'm like, man, that was the best time of my life. Like, that was amazing. Like, I would give anything to recreate that. You know what I mean? It was phenomenal.
Absolutely. Like, I definitely perfected driving there. Convoy. We're pretty fucking good at that.
Yep.
But, so after you guys started getting back, they threw me in the arms room as a E3, as the primary armor. They didn't send me to school for it. They just said, Mahia's done. It's your turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I got this.
That's what the Army's good at, man.
Yeah. Yep. So, when you guys went on that detachment, they had just gotten back from deployment. So the arms room was a complete and utter chaos. So I had to go through and I had to figure out how to submit work orders and get them done. And I had to figure out how to get everything in specific numerical order by serial number. And I'm talking like M4s, ungodly amount of night vision goggles, all serialized.
Yeah, of course.
You know. But I did it, right? And everything was going phenomenal. Everything was going phenomenal. Until so we had a battalion inspection that I won, and I got the award for it without any schooling, right? So like, I was proud of myself. And that's when Lieutenant, I don't want to call her out, but short blonde lady, that's when short blonde lady took command of the, man, it's been so long, the office, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
And she decided that she was going to take control of the arms room. Well, her take control of the arms room meant that now she just gets credit for everything that I do. Not that she's going to lay a hand on anything that I do or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
So, well, the 2 months later, roughly, it's a brigade level inspection. And that warrant officer comes in. And I hand him my logbook, and he's going through it, and he's like, it's all wrong, but it's all right. Like, I see exactly what you did, but it's not right. Okay, because everyone's is supposed to be uniform.
Yeah.
Across the entire brigade. And I explained to him the situation, like, yeah. I'm still at E3.
Yeah.
I was just tossed in here. And he's like, I can't dock you for this because it's not wrong. I can only show you how to get it right. And he started commending me on how well put together the whole arms room was. I had every single weapon in there glistening. Like, it was gorgeous, right? And that's when almost called her out again. That's when short blonde lady came in. peeked her head inside as he was commending me and started taking credit for everything. And then he's like, oh, you did this? He's like, okay, well, your logbook's fucked. Oh, no. I told him, and then that's when I lost my mind. No. You didn't tell me shit, lady.
Yeah.
I figured this all out on my own. He's like, no, I got this. I'm like, oh, all right. Next week, I was in armor school. So that side of things was taken care of, but it definitely left a wound on short blonde lady. And she she from then on made it her goal to have me kicked out of the military, not retired like I was.
Yeah.
You know, but what I've realized is you can't outrun your past, right?
Right.
So when she changed gears from just some lady in the office to attack mode, it flipped those survival instincts back into play.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when we started ramping up with NTC and the one in Louisiana, and it's like it was just a compilation of things being thrown at you that made that glass wall come back up.
Yeah.
I guess. And man, talking about it makes it it kind of makes you realize how important one person's opinion is on, I don't know, because I don't want to say that, I don't want to say that my whole life changed because of her, but it was like a downward spiral from there.
Yeah.
And now that I'm out, right, I've dedicated all of my time to I've been out for 7 years now, and my oldest, he's played basketball for the last two, but we've been training since, he's 10 now, so we've been training since he was, old enough to walk. So this is his second year. I coached him last year, and we went undefeated, right? This year, his first game was last week, and the score is not fair to talk about, okay?
Yeah.
So, my middle son, he has me fully convinced that he's going to turn me into a robot when I die. So, like, I'm good there, I guess.
Yeah.
Got immortality figured out.
There you go.
And my daughter is, she's a fairy princess, okay?
Yeah.
And everybody treats her as such, and it's, she's an angel. It's just beautiful to see, right? But I get to see it.
Yeah.
And as they're getting older, I've realized how important it is to have that community around you that the military offers. Not just the military, but just as an example, right?
Yeah.
The camaraderie of it. It's especially difficult with my wife being active duty Navy. We live in Michigan. There's 6 inches of snow outside, and it's like 13 degrees right now, not counting wind chill. She's stationed in San Diego right now, worried about evacuating from a wildfire.
Yeah.
So it's that sense of camaraderie for me has been vital. Like, absolutely vital. And I can't help but thank Misfits Motorsports from the bottom of my heart for that. You know, the things we're doing.
Yeah.
The things we've done with this car already is insane, but the future is just incredible.
Yeah.
With the kids, I've been able to, I first built this car, I maxed out every safety feature that Subaru offers. I didn't touch the motor at all. Just maxed out my braking and handling and suspension and made it as safe as possible so that when I do dumb things, they don't get hurt, right?
Right.
And it's allowed us to bond on a level that I've never, I had hoped for as a kid, you know, like being able to go for a ride with my dad. He lived in Georgia growing up. We lived in Michigan. I lived in Michigan with my mom and stepdad. Just being able to have that one-on-one time with your parent, you know, and that Subaru has opened that door for us. So I can't bash on Subaru at all. My motor is still fine. I'm just future-proofing it. I did have to replace the transmission, though, but it wasn't 10 grand. Turned into way more than 10 grand, but it started as just the transmission.
All you're doing is convincing me not to get a WRX.
Just if you do get a hold of me, I'll tell you which one, and I'll tell you what not to do.
All right.
It'll last forever. Just don't modify it. But with Misfits Motorsports, we've also made mini Misfits. My daughter's 6 years old and has no idea what a brake pedal is. She just whips it sideways. Sometimes it doesn't work out. My eight. My 8 year old, he's one of the most technical drivers I've ever seen. And my 10 year old is the most coachable driver I've ever seen. So I couldn't not get them involved.
Right.
Here in Michigan, they have a mini wedge competition or class, which is kids' go-karts, right? They race on circle tracks or road-like tracks. But it's all, I mean, it's the same thing as my car, right? Everything has to meet a technical specification. Everything has to pass inspection. But it's not just about passing inspection. It's about making sure that it's safe for my kid, you know, and that making sure they're going to have fun. It started with just my kids, and now I have a set of 11-year-old twin boys that are where we're in the process of putting their go-karts together. I say we as in Misfits Motorsports, but their grandpa wanted to get involved with Misfits Motorsports. So it's become a whole family thing where when I was a kid and my uncle was working on the in the garage, it was, yo, get out, it's dangerous in here.
Yeah.
Well, it's only dangerous if you make it dangerous. Put jack stands under it.
Right.
Right? Teach the kid how to do it, and it's no longer dangerous.
Right.
Be out here in flip-flops. Oh, it's... just become incredible. It's been fun. It's something that I wake up wanting to do. And even though there's sometimes where I'll have that television screen pop up in front of my eyes and I'm watching the movie going on in front of me, it's after the mood swing or after the panic attack, it's incredible to come back to reality and see that, or it's incredible to watch that movie and see that, for instance, my kids are amazing. So even in the midst of a panic attack, they know that, just agree with Dad. Everything will be okay, you know. We don't have anything to worry about. It's not like we're actually grounded.
Yeah. You know? You know, it's funny how intuitive children are, right? And you know, I kind of touched on it in my episodes when I told my story, and also, you know, episodes since then. But as a child, you know, you're being molded, right? And you know, you're being taught how to deal with things. So the children know when something's wrong. They know when something's wrong. And the best way that we can do anything is to show them the correct way of how to handle the situation, because that's going to mold them into being able to handle that situation. Now, they're not going to grow up 100% like us, right? And I wouldn't want that for my kids. I wouldn't want them to grow up like me, right?
Hell no.
No, but...
please don't.
Yeah.
Just but, my values. Have my values, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And learn from how I show you how I deal with things, right?
I am wrong. Believe me, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it happens. And I think that's another important thing that we can show our children is I can admit when I'm wrong. I can admit when right. I make a mistake, and I can apologize for it, and I can do what I can do to make it right. And, right. you know, thinking back to my childhood, that just wasn't something that I was taught. And it kind of sounds the same for you, you know? I mean, there's so many ways. I talked about my addiction and my past. You know, I just think back to certain situations that I put myself in and I put other people in because I had no regard for my life or anybody else's life or safety, right? It just wasn't on my radar. And, you know, I could have continued down this dark path and continued doing what I was doing, but just one day, and like I said in my episode, you know, one day, I'm not trying to belittle addiction because it's tough to break, right? It's tough to get off of the addiction to drugs. It's tough. Addiction to anything, you know, it's really hard. But I was able to decide myself, I don't want to do this anymore, right? And I pushed myself away from it. Now, did I have instances where I came back to not necessarily drugs, but alcohol? Yes, I did. You know, it followed me all the way into my mid-30s, right? And then after I got out of the military, you know, that's when all my stuff really started and it started clicking. And that's when I was finally able to go get help and I was finally able to accept that I needed help, right? I want to touch on something that you said. You know, you said, I hate saying that one person's opinion affected me so bad, right? The thing about mental health is you could have 10 people with the same opinion and it doesn't bother you, but one person that is in a role that you respect and they have that different opinion about you, or they have an opinion about something that you're doing, or even an opinion that kind of feels that way, right? It really affects how we respond to things, and we're not really healthy in the mind, whether we know it or not. We're not really healthy and we find the most unhealthy ways to respond. And I, you know, another thing that you had said, talking about your kids, I can tell how much you love them. Like, it's phenomenal, right? I got three kids of my own. Sometimes I want to, you know, pick them up and shake them. And then other times I'm like, God, I just love you so much. Most of the time it's, I love you so much. Right. But, you know, one thing that I've said before on this podcast, and I'll continue to say it, and I wish I knew who to credit, but I really have no idea who said this the first time, but you've grown into someone who would have protected you as a child. And that's what you're doing for your children. You're not shielding them away from life itself, because we all know life sucks and life's hard. But what you're doing is you're being a better person than the people who raised you, or, you know, who were in your life as a child. You're being a better person to the children in your life, and you're creating a better mindset for those children to grow up in. And, you know, I think it's phenomenal when somebody who has gone through trauma can do that, because it's not easy. You see people all the time who are suffering from mental health, and, you know, getting help is not easy. Going and talking to a therapist is not easy. I don't fucking know you. And you're about to sit here and write down my life story that I'm telling you, right? It's not easy. It's difficult. Yeah. And, you know, I think I even talked about it in some of my episodes. It took me, I went to four different clinics, I think. And like, God knows how many therapists, right? I pretty sure that I lost count, and I reported false numbers in my episodes. But, you know, it's like, you have to find someone that you click with. Like my therapist now, man, she's phenomenal. She, you know, talks to me about the podcast. She was talking to me about it before it launched. She was excited about it. She wants to hear it. You know, but as I've gone through these therapists, and as I've sat down and I've shared my story with them, the tears have flowed, right? But now, I mean, I broadcasted this podcast to the world. I mean, we've been heard in four different countries right now, right?
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's huge, right? It's amazing. But I mean, I shared my story, and I didn't break down this time. And I shared it with millions of strangers, billions of strangers, right? Anybody that wants to pick up a phone or a computer and listen to a podcast, they see Ginger Veteran Podcast, they're like, I'm going to listen to this, give it a try. They're going to hear my story, right? And I pushed it out there because I noticed the more I talk about it and the more I communicate it, the more it helps me. And I'm not saying that's cookie cutter, and I'm not saying that's going to help you. I'm not saying that's going to help Sean, who I've interviewed previous, and I'm not saying that's going to help anybody else. But it helps me. And I'm being selfish with this podcast, right? I'm being selfish and generous at the same time. I'm being selfish. I'm using this to help myself, but I'm also using it as a platform to try and help others. And I think that, you know, looking at what you and Misfits Motorsports are doing, it's amazing. And you guys are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it was so hard. Like, I wrote a whole thing, man, and it was so hard to not be like, I'm benefiting specifically from this, you know, because it's my mental health that is, like, if it's helping me, I know it can help other people. Exactly. You know, and it's not about building a race car. It's not about racing at all. It's about having a sense of belonging. Somebody that you can turn to if you actually need help or need help finding that help.
Yes. I'm 100%, man. And I'm also a firm believer that somebody doesn't have to have a degree to be able to help you out. Sometimes that's all we need to do is find somebody that's willing to listen, right? You don't even have to talk to this person. Just let them go. Let them vent. I'll kick it back to our episode, the pen is mightier than the stigma. Sean talked about the release valve, right? He talked about how he just lets off steam and it's like a release valve and he just lets it go, right? And I think that's amazing. I think that's phenomenal. I think, you know, if I could adopt that, I would. That's not one that works for me though. But it's amazing in just the two interviews that I've done, just to kind of, you know, hear from my side and from his side and now from your side how differently kind of the same experiences are dealt with on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different way of releasing that steam, but
yeah, exactly. It all comes back to the same thing. It's just different, right? And I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. And, you know, I appreciate you sharing your story. I appreciate you giving us the time here at Ginger Veteran Podcast to do this. This has been phenomenal. I'm excited for what you guys are doing. I'm excited for the partnership between Ginger Veteran Podcast and Misfits Motorsports. I think that I think that we're going to be able to do great things. I hope that we're going to be able to do great things. I want both of us to build this platform and just absolutely launch it into fucking space, man. I want this to be amazing.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you. I can't lie to you, man. I've been dreading this interview. Like every time I think about it, I start shaking. But now that it's all over, it's like, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Sean and I kind of talked about it after our interview, right? He was nervous at first, and then he was like, man, you know, as I'm talking and getting this stuff out, he's like, this ain't shit. This feels great. You know, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, man, yeah, exactly. So, is there anything else that you want to share?
No, just follow us on Facebook, Misfits Mission. We have a Shopify as well, but our Facebook links directly to it. I'm not going to read out that long thing again. follow us on Misfits Mission.
Keep all up. Right. Well, like I said, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you, you know, sharing your story, and I appreciate you really just kind of opening up to the world and just kind of getting it out there and sharing stories about you and your kids and what you guys are doing over there at Misfits Motorsports. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. Again, I couldn't be more grateful for what you're doing for not only the military community, but supporters of the military community, supporters of the veteran community, their families. I mean, it's just amazing to think about the potential that you guys have and what's going to happen in the future. But yeah, I appreciate you coming on. And, you know, guys, Ginger Veteran Podcast, next week, join us again for another exciting episode. Right now, I'm not sure what it's going to be. But when I get there, I'll get there. And we'll get it out to the world. Maybe I'll share somebody else's story.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you guys listening.